This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's sermon is titled Setting Your Heart and was offered by Pastor Jen Hansen. It was recorded on May 26, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
I'm glad you are here. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? So today we're going to be talking about, the importance of setting your heart and deciding that God is good. And I'd also add, because I think this is the hang up, that God, that goodness is specifically for you. I think that's where we get lost. As we know God is good, or if we've been around church for any length of time, we believe that with our head. But the problem comes in the applying it to us in our specific situation. And so kind of how I got here to this place, you know, other than Pastor Jeff asked me to bring a word this week. But at the same time that he had asked me, I am working on a training. And we're doing some changes in the Freedom Ministry here, starting in the fall. And it is, I'm excited about that, because we are going to have a lot of the same good material that we had with Freedom in Christ. But we are also going to add a retreat here in December. So you'll go through a 12-week class or group, and then at the end we'll have a prayer retreat. So it has been a number of years since we've done that. I believe the last time that I did it, we had Cleansing Streams here. I had Lena that night, and so it's been a while, but it's good. And so anyway, during this training that I'm going through and looking at now, one of the things that talks about is you give a little teaching and you give your testimony. And one of the things that it cautions is it says, you know, when people give a testimony, a lot of times what happens is they focus on all the bad stuff that happened that got them to Jesus. And they kind of major on that and explain it and over-explain it. And then at the end of that, and then Jesus saved me and he brought me to freedom. And so they caution you and they say that there's a balance here. And what you should do is 20%, I believe is what they said, of the teaching should be the history. Give people enough of a background to know where you've come from. But 80% of what you're saying should be what the Lord has done. And so I thought about that, and I've been up here a couple of times. Most of you have heard me speak before. And it's easy to do. It is easy to focus on all of the things that happened in the past and for that to be the thing that you focus on, because that's, you know, it sticks in your mind and you want to explain to people and that kind of thing. But it's very important to talk about what is it that actually, what did Jesus do? And how did he get me through that specifically? And I think we need practical. And so I got to thinking about that and was asking the Lord, Lord, what is that thing that I would say is that big rock that I could say 80% I could talk about was what Jesus did in me, that change, that kind of shift? And I would say that this is that thing. That decision to choose to believe that God is good and that he is for me. Because I was a person who did not really, I struggled with that, to be really honest with you. Struggled with believing God is good. I know it sounds terrible and, you know, like I'm going to be struck by lightning here, but I truly did struggle with it. And I know I'm not alone in that. I know there's a number of people that struggle with that very thought of that God is good. Not probably maybe to the extent that I did. Just depends on what the issue is. But he really led me to, showed me that I needed that. I needed to make that step. And so when I was going through, when I was first going through my healing, my deliverance, my learning through freedom in Christ, I noticed that I was up and down. And so I'd get a breakthrough, and then I would experience a lot of freedom, and I'd be up, and it would be good, and all was good, and I believed God was good. But then I would have some sort of challenge, and I would have something really hard happen, and I'd go really, really down. And a whole lot of my walk was up and down, up and down. I don't know if anybody else has ever experienced that, but it's very frustrating. And I remember reading in James where it talks about the double-minded man, you know, that you know, then getting convicted by that. And I realized that I was, you know, I wasn't stable. I don't mean stable like crazy. I mean, I was just up and down. And I said, I remember praying to the Lord and saying, God, please help me to be stable. Please help me to be able to walk this, because I'm not good for anybody. I'm not good for myself. I'm not good for my kids. I'm not good for helping other people if my walk is like this, if my emotions are like this. And so that's when he answered that prayer. And this is a very big part of how he did that. So the Lord showed me that making that decision, that choice to believe God was good and that he was for me was a crucial step in my stability. And the reason that that is, you know, looking back on it, I can see that, is because that is the basis of trust. You're not going to trust God if you don't believe he's good and for you. You just won't. And so it's important for us to look at that. And before this point, if things went well, I believed God was good, I trusted. But if things went bad, I had trouble believing God was good. Or that more specifically, because we all can get lost in head knowledge. And this is how you know. It's when things get rough. You say all the right things, but when things get rough, you really, really struggle. Probably that point of struggle is that area that you struggle with believing God is good for you in this area. Okay? So you may have it down even in several points of your life and believe that God is good. But then if you get hit with that specific area, you know, whether it's a spouse, whether it's money, whether it's health, we all have those areas that we really struggle with. And if you've been here for a long time, it begins to get hard to trust God in those areas. And so it's important for us to really look at and make a choice. Now, that was important because I often lived by my emotions before this in my life earlier on. I didn't realize how much of faith was not how I felt for the moment, but it was choosing to believe something, and then the feelings follow. And so me believing, me making that choice that God is good, and to believe that was an act of faith, and it happens every single time I'm in a point where there's an anxiety or a thing that I'm still working on, that the Lord is still working on me. And I choose to believe. I have said in advance, I am going to believe that God is good in that. And I want to challenge you in that as well. So the first step that we need to do is we need to look at what does the Word of God say. So in Acts chapter 17, and what's happening there is, this is where Paul is speaking to the Greeks in Athens. I'm going to pull this back a little bit. I can see it. All right, can you guys still see it? Okay. All right, good deal. So what was happening there is Paul was speaking to the Greeks in Athens. And so he was dealing with people that didn't have any kind of background with God, really, not our God, not the Jewish God. And so he needed to go through and explain the very basis and the heart of God. And so this scripture really talks about that. It says in Acts 20, breath, 25 through 28, talks about how God gives everyone life and breath and everything else, and that God did this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, and how he is not far from any one of us. He put that in us. He talks to, again, people that do not have this background in Romans, another scripture that you might be familiar with. Romans 19 and 20, he's speaking to Romans. And he says, that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So what is he saying there in both of those things? He's saying, and I think Louis Giglio says it really, really well in this quote. He says, we were made by God and for God. And of that, we are constantly drawn toward him. So what's he saying there? He's saying God put something in us, hardwired us, that we seek after God no matter who we are, no matter where we're from. He puts this tug in us, and then he's hoping that we're going to reach out. And when we reach out, he's going to meet us there. But it's important to note that if we have that tug, what are we drawn to? What is the image that we think we're being drawn to? We know we have the hardwiring toward God, but what is that image? What does that mean? Another second quote he says is, we are all moving toward our mental image of God. Then we certainly need to move toward the right mental image, the accurate idea about God, the true picture. And this happens, I've heard different ones speak on this, and this is so true. So many times we get hang-ups about God because we have this wrong view of God to begin with. And so the God that we're praying to and the God that we're worshiping and the God is really not a true representation of who God truly is. Truly. All right. A.W. Tozer says that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So think about that for a minute. Stop and think about that. What comes into your mind when you think about God? What's the picture that comes into your mind? Part of the picture that might come into your mind is a common one. This one that I had is this kind of this old man with this long white beard, and he's maybe a little nitpicky and perfectionistic, or at least this used to be how I saw God. But so many times, our picture of God, we don't stop and ask or think about what do we see when we see God? What are we thinking he looks like? What are we thinking he's like? Because how you answer that question creates the filter in which you see God. Because if you see him as a perfectionist or you see him as negative, then that's, you're definitely going to, it's going to change how you see God. It's also going to change the way that you see yourself and the way you see the world. So what is your filter? How do you see the world? It starts with how we see God, but it affects everything. It affects every way that we look at the world. Let me give you an example. If I think, like I said, that in my example, that I think he's kind of an old guy, he's a nitpicky scorekeeper kind of God, okay? then I'm going to see myself as never quite measuring up, right? You can kind of reason this out. I may see myself as constantly failing. In my world, how do I see my world? My world, I see it as very competitive. I may even see it as negative. I probably feel I'm pretty much on my own. Anybody relate to that? Because again, if I see God as nitpicky, am I going to go to him and cry out to him or trust him? No, because I think he's keeping score. I think he's against me. And so I'm going to really feel, I may even show up at church and sit in these seats and say that I love Jesus. But when it comes down to my real life, everyday life, I'm not seeking God. Why? Because I see God as a nitpicky, score-keeping kind of God. So I want you to think about that. That may not be your specific thing, the specific way that you see God, but I want you to be thinking about it. How do I see God? As you're sitting here, as you're listening, how do I see God? So more important than where it starts with most of us is how do you answer Tozer? So what is it that comes in your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about us. Okay, so what's the problem here? There are three general areas that I find cause people to struggle with setting their hearts and having sustained freedom. And so the first one is what we've already been talking about, which is I have the wrong view of God. Another example that they in the book Not Forsaken, Louis Giglio just came out with this book this year. It's very good, very easy read. If you're interested, you should pick it up. But he talks about, so what are some of the distorted images? So one of the views of God is he's the old man upstairs. He's the grandpa God, the scorekeeper God. Scorekeeper God has a lot of do's and don'ts. Grandpa God, he's been along for a really long time, mostly out of touch with the current culture. Not really relevant in your everyday life. Can't really help with real problems. Your job, your friends, etc. So you have that one. You have cosmic force God. So cosmic force God is kind of this distant, nebulous force that he is. There's really no personhood. He's kind of a feeling or a vibe. Another one is concierge God. All right. So that's God is at your beck and call. He's there 24/7. He's like a personal butler. He only exists to help them get through their personal to-do list. And then hipster God, I really liked that one. I thought that was kind of funny. It says he's a super relevant part-time barista, part-time Bible scholar. And what would you do with the hipster God? And I know we laugh, but truly, they're, I can see things going somewhat this direction. With the hipster God, whatever you want, it's okay, right? Because God's really cool with it. And so you have to challenge that, and you have to look at that and go, is God really cool with it? Where am I basing my belief on? Where's this view of God coming from? And so the other one that's kind of similar to that is buddy God. He's your buddy, he's your pal. Buffet God, that's one we see more and more and more. Buffet God is, well, I like this part of the Bible, but I don't like this part of the Bible. So I'm going to just focus on the Psalms and the Proverbs, or just the Psalms, because they make me feel good. I don't want to look at the other stuff. I want to look at the hard stuff. Or we just pick out parts of it and we just say, I'm not going to look at that. The me God, that's where whatever you want, that's what you do. And then the thing that we want to see in this is that Jesus really only referred to God one way, and that is as Father God. And this was really important specifically. He was a relational father when he was talking about him. You may have heard this. He referred to him as Abba God. The closest thing that we can translate that to is Daddy God. This is a God that is relational and familiar, because Jesus was all about establishing relationship and with our Heavenly Father. But even with God as Father, between our earthly fathers and our heavenly fathers, we often don't even realize how much we do this. And the term that describes this overlap is called transference. And you may have heard that. We end up transferring, even we don't even realize how much we do this, our earthly father and how he was to our heavenly father. And so if you've done Freedom in Christ, you're familiar with this. This is a much more condensed version because I just wanted to give you a highlight of it. But how things that we do, that where we acknowledge the truth about our Father God, this is a little exercise where you go through and you look at this list and you look at the lies that people commonly believe about God. Commonly. Most people, in my case, I had a distant father who basically wasn't there in my life. And so I believed a lot of this distant, disinterested, God was insensitive, he was uncaring. Hard to believe God's good if that's your background, right? Because you just think he's really not there. And so other one is passive, cold, absent, too busy. A lot of us had those kind of dads. Stern and demanding. Controlling, manipulative, perfectionistic, condemning, or unforgiving. And so what this exercise does is it has you go through. And I would sit down with people and I would say, check the box. And again, there's a much longer list than this. I condensed some of them just for the purpose of this teaching. But we would go through and we would say, Lord, forgive me for believing that you were distant and disinterested, because this is the truth. And you would just go through this prayer. I renounce the lie that God is distant and disinterested. I instead embrace the truth that God is intimate, involved, kind, and compassionate. And look at this scripture to back each of these up, the truth about each of these things. And for me and for many other people, when they went through that, they didn't really realize that these scriptures talked about God in this way because they just hadn't examined how they saw God until they were sitting down. They just knew they were angry or upset or they were struggling, but they didn't know that this was the root of it. Freedom in Christ talks about there are two basic lies the enemy uses in our lives to get to us. He lies about who God is to us, and then he lies to us about who we are. We do not realize who God is, and we do not realize who we are in Christ. And that's how he gets us. And so if this is you, and you would like more information on that, I can give you a one-page sheet. You can go home, and you can pray through that and renounce that and actually find quite a bit of freedom just in doing that. But let's say the other way that I use this same tool is for some of us, as soon as we look at it, we realize and we repent and we go on. But for others, we're really stuck here. And they will sit down and they will tell me, and I do pastoral care. So I sit down and I spend a lot of time with people. And they will say to me, Jen, I know I shouldn't believe that, but I really do. Because my experience has been this. God wasn't there for me here. He wasn't there for me here. And so they have a whole filter in which they have seen their entire world, in which they have processed everything that's ever happened to them. And so they are stuck here. And so what I encourage them to do at that point is to take those scriptures and really go through them, and we pray through them, and we talk through them. And so some things require more work. But still, this is a great place to start and to look at and to see, is there any of that that I'm really maybe seeing about God? So that's the first area. The second area that causes us to doubt the goodness of God and to struggle to maintain our freedom is we focus too much on the problem. All right. So most of you may or may not know, I was in a bad wreck June 21st, 2017. And this is the very pictures we pulled it off of Facebook or Instagram, one of those. Lena helped me with that. And so I thought this was a great illustration about how we focus too much on the problem, because this is from my own life. I'm just being transparent, okay? And so what was happening was I was part of 71, and you guys, if you know anything about Louisville, 71 has a constant wreck some two or three times a week. It's a dangerous highway, but I was good. Me and Lena were in the front seat of our van, and we were going down, and so we're getting close to the Gene Snyder where we had to come over to the fast lane. I don't normally drive in the fast lane, but I happened to drive in the fast lane because I knew that there was going to be traffic merging, and so so I gotten over there, and all of a sudden, for no one knows why, all lanes of that southbound Gene Snyder, 71 stopped. Came to a dead stop. So I remember looking at Lena and saying to her, because I saw that I was going to have to, I might be able to pull out and get to the emergency lane, but I saw that the small pickup that I did see in the rearview mirror, I saw that he was not. And I said, sweetie, we're going to get hit. It's going to be okay. And so sure enough, at that point, you know, everything goes in slow motion. The airbags go off. I did not, praise the Lord, look in my rearview mirror and see the semi that actually hit us. Because what happened was at that moment, the pickup truck got out of the way, but the semi couldn't. It was going 60 miles an hour. I know this because the driver said he was. And he popped a hill or a corner or whatever, and he didn't see us. And so this vehicle cannot stop on a dime like that. And so it hit us full force and pushed me into another semi. And so we were a pancake. And so if you'll go to the next slide. Now this is the good and the miraculous, right? I want you to look at this. There is no broken glass here. Is that not amazing? Lena and I didn't have any glass on us, okay? You see the damage. You see all this, right? But look right where we are. There is no damage here. The airbags that we hadn't taken to the thing to get them redone or whatever didn't throw out shards of anything. So they worked, did their job, another miracle. And so we were protected right there. If you'll go to the next one. But in my mind, and I was glad and I was praising the Lord, but this image did not get out of my head. You see that? And so it's just like this. It looks just like this in my head too. It was like the enemy circled it for me. And he said, instead of me focusing on, look what God did, which I said, okay, look what God did. He did all these good things. He protected us. All I could see were the giants. And that what could have happened? We could have died. Why did we even have to go through that to begin with? Voice of the enemy. But it got my focus on the problem. What an illustration. And I'm praising God. I can use it for God now. Because I want you to get that picture in your mind. What is that for you? Maybe you don't have a semi. In your background, and by the way, how this manifested out, because I gave this place in my life, was that then every time I got on 71, every time I saw brake lights, every single time that I saw semis passing me, I would freeze up or have almost a panic attack because this is the picture. It could happen to me. I got froze up on the giant, on the problem. Instead of focusing on the goodness of God and how he rescued us, I kept focusing here. Do you know what broke me out of that? By the way, I just got done teaching downtown at Lighthouse. And guess what I had to do every week? Travel I-71 at rush hour traffic and then get on the Waterson at rush hour traffic and deal with all these trucks. And do you know what got me through it? I kept saying, first of all, I prayed in the spirit. The other thing I did is I said, God is good, and he is for me. And because I had already made that choice years ago to believe that, I had a lot stored in me, and I just kept saying, God is good, and I would have a peace. The peace that passes all understanding, I'm just telling you. And every week I went down there. It was a new trial. It was a new test. It was a new thing. But I chose to believe that God is good. So I want you to think about you. What about you? I bet if I ask you, if you believe God is good, that maybe you're struggling with some things, and you might say, I don't know. Because the principle with your head, you believe. The problem comes in when the right set of circumstances happens, and that throws you. And we all have them. That's part of being in process. That's part of God's sanctification, his work in us, is that he's getting all these kind of things out of us. So maybe what throws you isn't the same thing that throws me. Okay? But here's what I know. The enemy uses what works, so he's going to use the thing that works on you. And I used to be mad at God about that, and then I realized that in that place of that thing that really throws me is an opportunity for me to trust God. Instead of being mad about the fact that I was in the battle, I was being tried, I began to embrace the process and realize it was a point that I could learn to trust tangibly at the very place where I needed to trust God. And it's the same with you. So I'm going to throw out a few things, and I want you to think about it, because this could be you. I want you to think about it. Maybe it's finances. Maybe every single time in your life, when you think you are getting ahead, boom, something else happens. There's an expense you didn't expect. You lose a job. It's always something. And so in the area of finances, you believe God is good in every area but finances. Maybe that's you. For other people, it's health. Every time you turn around, one of your kids is sick. You're sick. Or they get injured. You feel like you live at the hospital, the doctor's office. Just when you think you've turned a corner, there it is again. Someone else is sick, or you have a chronic illness that you've believed God for healing, and it's not moving. And so you struggle with that. You have trouble. You struggle with feeling God is good in the area of your health, because it's a place where you really battle. The other area that's very common that I see in the work that I do here is your spouse. So many times, a spouse or close relationship, we struggle because we just know our life would be better if they would just do whatever the fill in the blank is. And so you trust God and you believe God and you think he's good, except with people. And I can relate to this because I used to tell God all the time, I trust you, God, I just don't trust people. People have free will, and they do their own thing, and I need to have my own set of things to do because, you know, you're too merciful, and I got to make sure I protect myself. And it was basically, it's basically my philosophy of life. And so what is that area for you? Whatever it is, it's where you struggle. That tells you something right there. That's the area that you need to look at and examine. It's hard for you to believe that God is good, or you believe God is good in general, but not for you specifically. He's good for this person, and he's good for this person, and this sister always gets a breakthrough, but not me. You feel like somehow you're excluded. And so the third area that causes us to doubt the goodness of God and to maintain our freedom, because that's what it is. A lot of people can get free and have time where God really delivers them. It's maintaining your freedom that's often the challenge. It's when we go back and forth and up and down, like I was talking before. And so that third area is that causes us to doubt the goodness of God and maintain our freedom. It's that our theology hasn't been practiced enough, making our foundation shallow. Now, shallow sounds harsh, but it's just the truth. We haven't practiced it enough. And so what happens is we have an idealistic view of the world that sometimes causes this. If I do this, then God will do that. if this happens, then this happens. I follow all the rules, then it's going to work out for me. And when that doesn't happen, then you struggle. We don't know how to persevere. We aren't equipped. We aren't mature enough to get past how we feel in the moment. And so we're good with the head knowledge until we're just overwhelmed with the same problem that we struggle with, and our emotions end up ruling the day. So most of us are familiar with Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It's teaching on building our house on a strong foundation. We either build it on the sand or the rock, but I want to point out the things that make the difference. Okay, so in both cases, do you notice that everybody's listening to God? They're listening to Jesus. Whether you built your house on the sand or whether you built your house on the rock, what's that imply? You're in church. You're listening to God. You're seeking God. You're listening. He listens. The difference is, then the other thing that's the same is they both get hit with the storm. So sometimes we have this view that if I'm just in church and do all the right things, then the storm should not happen to me. But storms happen to everybody. And so both sets of houses, they were listening and there was a storm. The difference between the two was obedience. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows is wise, like the person who builds his house on the rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and flood waters and winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey, it is foolish, like the person who builds his house on the sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. He is talking about us. The scripture that I used at the beginning is one that's now a life verse for me, which is Psalm 27, 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We need that. We need to believe that. It's important. So what do we do? So how do we solve this problem? How do we fix it? There are three things that we can do to fix the problem that I just illustrated with you. Three things. And this is based on Philippians verse 4, 6 through 9. I'm not going to read it to you because we're going to go over it here in just a minute. And you need to know that even though Philippians is one of the most encouraging scriptures or Bible books in the Bible, maybe most of you do, but it just bears repeating when we're looking at this, that Paul wrote that from prison. And not a nice prison, by the way. They were terrible prisons. And yet, he still maintains this. So if he can say it from his horrible prison cell, he knows what he's talking about. Let's look at the next slide. So the first way to fix the problem is to choose. You have to choose to believe that God is good and he is for you. You have to choose to believe in the goodness, in the character of God. God's character, good, and I'm all about memorizing scripture and getting into the word. You also need to also look at the character of God. And this is very helpful because the character of God tells you who he is throughout the word. Because you can sometimes, I struggled, where I would look at certain scripture and I would have trouble with, well, I don't understand God in this context. And so, but if I have the foundation of understanding the goodness of God, the character of God, this is who he is. He is good. The second thing that we do to fix the problem in choosing to believe that God is good and he's for us is we decide that his goodness is specifically for us, not just for somebody over there, that we're not the sudden exception, that it's for everybody. And then also, you want to pray for help and be honest with God, because God knows it anyway. He knows it anyway. All right, the second way that we solve this problem is we fix our thoughts. Finally, and this is the Amplified, I really like this for this specific scripture. Finally, believers, whatever is true, honorable, worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely, what brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, then think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Do you see? That's serious. That is a serious commitment. And that's important that you not just, that you in general are mindful of your thoughts. The key, find key scriptures or truth that are life to you. Don't just arbitrarily study scripture, and scripture's all good, but specifically meditate on those things that bring you life, that's rhema to you. Write them down. Hang them where you'll see them. Daily go over it. Consistency matters here. Commit them to memory or at least repeat them often. I used to do that. I had them everywhere. You come over to my house and you would see scriptures everywhere hanging because I was in quite the battle. And it helps. It helps to focus on that. The third one and the last one is to put your belief into practice. And I think that's one of the key things that we lack, is that we fail to put our belief in practice. It says, do not, again, this is the Amplified, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. The things that which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life. And the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you. So how do we fix this problem? Use everything, especially those things that cause you to be anxious and worried, to practice trusting the Lord. So for all of you that have been sitting out there feeling guilty because you have anxiety or you worry, I'm not saying that that's a good thing. I know that that's a struggle. But instead of feeling condemned and bad about it, use it. Practice. That is the point. That anxiety, that struggle is your place to practice your trust with the Lord. Decide daily to trust God. This is daily. See, and this was a hang-up I got into as well. I would try to trust God when I struggled, but then I would just kind of forget God for a while. And that doesn't help with the instability. You need to make a commitment to decide daily to trust God. And this can be simple. This can be just praying, God, I choose to trust you. Today's a new day. I don't know what's coming my way, but I choose to trust you. And then remember that it's a relationship that benefits from consistent, authentic communication. God wants to be in relationship with you. That's what Jesus is all about. He wants a relationship. If you're in a relationship with anybody, how does it benefit? It benefits if you are consistent and if you are authentic in the communication. If you're in a relationship where you can be really who you are and feel seen and feel like you are loved anyway, which all of those things are true about God and you, then those relationships thrive because you can truly be yourself. So I encourage you, because I know that our tendency is that we, when we struggle, is to withdraw from God, actually. But instead of withdrawing, put into practice your belief by drawing close to God. Even though all of your emotions may go, no, I want to run, I want to do this, take that step toward Him, and He will take that step toward you. As we want to go ahead and call the worship team up and the ministry team. And I want to give you a chance. And Jerome, go ahead and put the very last scriptures up there. This is a great resource. I have about 30 copies of it on the back table there in yellow. That they're actually written out. They're these scriptures about the goodness of God, specifically about not only the goodness of God, but that He is for you. Very powerful scriptures. And so you are welcome to them as long as, you know, they're there. And if we run out, we can always make more. But I encourage you to think about that, look at that, go over those, meditate on those scriptures. But I feel like there are some of you here today that you really need to do some business with God. And so I don't know if you can do goodness of God, if that's okay. But as we have prayer time here, I want to encourage you that if you specifically are here and you realize that you've had a beef against God, that you have some unforgiveness, that you really truly believed that He wasn't for you, do some business with God. If there are some lies you believed, you saw yourself up on that screen, just renounce that. Just say, God, I'm sorry. Repent. That's, you've got to start there and then make that commitment and do it with someone else. You know, healing comes when what? We confess our sins one to another. And this is a safe place for us to do that. The other specific ministry call that I wanted to make, of course, you can come up for anything, whatever you're struggling with or if you need prayer for healing or whatever it might be. I wanted to specifically felt like as I was praying about this, if you have been stuck, you are just really stuck in some area in your life, and it's just been chronic, it has been there, it's finances, it's a relationship, it's a struggle that you just cannot seem to get the breakthrough, and it's really hard for you to believe that God is good and He is for you, I want you to have that opportunity to come up here and to have another brother or sister pray with you. And we're just going to go through this one song, and if nobody wants to, you know, if that isn't you and or you don't have another need, any need is fine. That's what we're here for. Then we'll close it and we'll go home and we'll enjoy the rest of our Memorial Day weekend. Go ahead and